Hey, soccer friends, welcome back. This is For the Glory KC. We bring a mix of in-depth Kansas City soccer knowledge and a more casual perspective. I'm Chad Smith, Associate Editor at KCSoccerJournal.com, who's going to take you a little bit more in-depth. And I'm joined, as always, by my wife, Sheena, who gives us that casual perspective. Oh boy, words already. How's it going, Sheena?
Hey, Chad. I'm okay, I guess. How are you?
Not even a hi, soccer friends. It doesn't sound like you are okay.
Hi, soccer friends. Well, obviously, I'm in some turmoil from last night's Sporting Kansas City game.
All right. Well, let's hype up what's on today's show. Peter Vermees thinks we're too worried about the blown leads. Sporting KC ties St. Louis for the first time ever. Courtney Ford retires. Thank God for the Kansas City Current. Something's going right in KC soccer. We had a little bit of competing KC soccer events last night. We're going to talk about something called the Icon Rule. And then, of course, the digital crawl, y'all. But before we get to the podcast, I just really quickly, be sure to rate and review the podcast on Spotify. You can give it 5 stars in the app. Apple Podcasts, you can give it 5 stars and write a little something for us. Also, just a reminder, if you like the podcast, you want to support the podcast, there's a link in the description. You can throw a few bucks our way. We greatly appreciate it. But Sheena wants to say something. Sheena, what? What's up?
Chad, I mean, KC Current, amazing. But don't forget the KC Comets. They're doing awesome.
Oh, that's true. I have that in the digital crawl. Sorry that it's not a whole segment on the show, but it'll be in the crawl. I got it covered.
Okay, but they're doing good too. So we have two good soccer teams.
If you looked at the rundown, you would have known that.
It's true, but I didn't.
And you don't. We know you don't. All right, so we never start this podcast immediately getting to the games in question, but I want to start it with a little nonsense that's actually soccer related. On Friday night, our daughter played a club soccer game, and they were short one assistant referee, and one of our friends, the dad, he was going to do it, and I'm explaining to him the rules of what he's supposed to do as an AR, and he's like, explain it to me again. And they're like, try to blow the whistle. And I'm like, I'll just do it. You know what? I'll be the AR. So I end up being an assistant referee. I made my refereeing debut, which I think extra qualifies me for referee bashing. And what an episode for it to happen on. I will say the assistant referee job is very hard. I have a newfound respect. I was only having to keep up with 11 and 12 year old girls, and they move pretty quick. It was hard to both look at the offside line and the sideline at the same time. Not to mention, I know a lot of these parents, and they were all like hazing me because I was on their sideline. Like, why couldn't they have put me on the non-parent sideline to get harassed? But it went pretty well. I think I called a pretty good game. I threw the offside flag up a couple of times. One time the center ref looked at me and then he ignored it and didn't call it because there was a turnover, but it wasn't really an advantage. But, you know, hey, we got through it. We did it. And now I have a newfound respect for that job. No doubt being a referee is hard. That said, they're getting paid a lot more money now than they used to be. So let's get these things right. Sheena, what did you think of my refereeing debut?
I think you did fine. I think you were tired after from all the running. So I think you probably need to get back. Well, I think you need to get back on couch to 5K as I've been trying to peer pressure you into doing it. But yeah, I think you did better than the parent who was going to do it would have done, because he knows about the same amount, if not less than me. And I know I couldn't
do it. He
definitely
knows less than you. He has no clue what the rules of soccer are, where he's supposed to be looking. I knew all the signals with the flag and everything too. Like, I was holding it up for subs and things. I pay attention, y'all. I mean, if I'm going to judge those refs, I got to be kind of watching what they're doing. I just need some training to know, like, where are you supposed to look in what moment? Because at times I was looking at the offside and then the ball would go out of bounds near me. And I was like, oh, I probably should have been watching who touched the ball. And then the center ref would make the call. And I'm like, thank goodness, because I did not see it. That happened like twice. So I learned. I got better.
Did it make you want to take classes and learn the ins and outs and do more youth coaching or reffing?
I have always been sort of interested in it. But I already have so many hobbies between this podcast, all the soccer writing, the video game playing, the shows, the UFC, all the other sports I watch. I just don't know how I'd fit it in, plus going to our daughter's games as well. So I'm interested, but yeah, I don't know that I'm going to do it. We'll see. Maybe.
Okay.
I did find out from the children that were refereeing with me that they got paid. And I was like, what? No one paid me.
Yeah.
So,
they should have been paying you.
Yeah. At halftime, I thought that was kind of funny. Like, I sat down by Sheena for like a minute. And then I said, you know what? I'm going to go over by the refs and see if they can give me any tips or tell me how to do things. Well, one was 12 and one was 13. And they told me, One guy was like, the other assistant ref, he's like, this is my fifth or sixth game. I'm not sure. And I was asking him, hey, do I do something with the flag when a goal is scored? And he's like, oh gosh, I don't know. I don't. And I was like, I don't know either. Can't remember if that happens. So I was like, I knew what goal kick and corner kick and substitution and, you know, pointing and wiggling it when there's a handball or a foul or something that I'm trying to get the center ref's attention. But they hadn't called very many games. That said, those two did pretty good. I thought they did a pretty good job because we get some pretty bad youth refs sometimes. So kudos to those young men who I did not ask their names. They didn't ask my name either, to be fair.
Okay. Well, let's get started on the game.
It's already past your bedtime, right? And we're just starting a podcast. Yeah. So let's get to this dang Sporting KC St. Louis game. So I'll talk before we get to the Vermees quotes that I teased, just real quick, let's talk about these goals that were scored. 3-3 tie. Some champagne soccer, as I tweeted from the KC Soccer Journal account on that first goal. Tim Leibold with the interception, flicks it to Shally. Shally with a back heel back to Leibold. Leibold to Polito. Polito to Agata. Agata back to Polito. Places it in the side netting. 1-0. Amazing start. And then all downhill from there, right? Because they blew the lead. I would say the second goal for Shallowy, a bit of a bummer that it gets turned away, but we just rewatched a chunk of the game right before we started recording this podcast. It was definitely not a shot. Like he's crossing it to Danny Rosero. It looks like he's just kind of trying to put it in the mixer and see what happens. So he probably didn't deserve the goal. It's turned into an own goal. And then Eric Tommy takes the golden boot lead with that really nice third goal. But the St. Louis goals, you know what? I don't even really want to get into them because most of them are around fouls. Let's skip goal 1 and 2 and let's just talk about the third goal real quick. The goal at the death, we'll talk about the fouls when we get to referee complaining, Sheena. That's coming later. The goal at the death, 92nd minute. I noticed that Sporting sent everybody long. They don't usually go long on goal kicks. They play out of the back. They got away from their style. They try to go long. The ball pings around. It's getting headed. It's getting bounces down. It hits João Klaus. And then Shallowy basically passes it right to Tomas Totlin, who ends up getting the goal. Leibold goes to ground. And he has no chance of getting there, which is, you know, the ultimate sin is going to the ground and not winning it. And then Milia rushes out because I don't know what else he's supposed to do. And then seeing the angle from behind the goal, which I hadn't seen live because, you know, we're at the stadium, the ball goes right between Milia's hand and his leg. He almost saved it. It was so close. Like it was there could have been an inch above and below the ball there. It just squeezes right through. And of course, Sporting blow another lead. They were up 3-2 and then ends up tied 3-3. I said a lot of words, Sheena. Chime in. What do you want to talk about?
You did say a lot of words, so I have a lot of thoughts on everything. First of all, if you listened to the episode last week, I wasn't intending on going to the game. And then Friday night on the way to our daughter's soccer game, I was actually trying to look up Olivia Rodrigo tickets because I've been checking those because our kid really wants to go. And so if anyone is selling Olivia Rodrigo tickets at any point and they aren't going to charge an arm and a leg, I'd like to go. Actually, I think Chad would be better to go. He knows more of her songs than
Weirdly,
I do.
I do. I would usually like be ashamed to admit this, but I'm not that person anymore that's like, I don't like things because you're not supposed to like them because that's for kids or tweens or teens or whatever. She's got some catchy songs. Some of them are a little punk rock. And
she does.
Like
yeah. So I got into the SeatGeek app to see what tickets were going for. I never even got to the tickets because then I got tranced by the fact that KC Current tickets were so cheap. Sporting Kansas City tickets were cheap. I wanted to go to the KC Current game, but since Chad was already committed to Sporting Kansas City, it just made more sense for me to go to Sporting Kansas City. And I got tickets in section 109 for like $34 or $32. So our kiddo and I went, and I didn't realize that at the time it was
dollars in fees that made it over $100.
Oh, yeah. Tickets. Don't get me
the dang fees, man. Oh, sinky getting you.
Don't get me started on fees. That's a whole other episode. But yeah, so I got to my seats. I was pretty excited because I didn't see anybody in red. So I was like, okay, we're all around Sporting fans. And then St. Louis scored their first goal. And I realized, oh, I'm actually kind of surrounded by the people on one side of me were St. Louis fans. The people in front of me were St. Louis fans. The guy next to me, I ended up talking to him at the end of the game. If you're listening, hey, I forgot your name already. So I'm so sorry.
Way to go, Sheena. Get a new listener and immediately forget them. Jeez.
I know. I'm not good with names. But him and his friend, it was their first time at a Sporting Kansas City game. And like, what a game. Because despite, you know, the outcome, it was a pretty entertaining, very vocal game from the crowd. So it was cool that that was their first experience. But yeah, so
I want to add real quick, if that guy is listening, that he's going to be confused that you don't curse on this podcast. Apparently you were cursing left and right at all the non-foul calls.
Oh, yeah. I said BS, but like the full word the entire game. And I felt kind of bad because I had our kid there, but she's heard worse. So I don't know. I'm not winning Parent of the Year over here. I can tell you that. But anyway, so yeah, I was disappointed that there was St. Louis fans around me. I was very vocal. I really had a good time, though. And I'm glad I went, but I was also very frustrated, but I would have been equally frustrated at home. So at least I was in a stadium filled of other people who were frustrated, but it was a good atmosphere. It solidified. I really don't like St. Louis and their fans. I don't encourage violence or anything, but at one point I felt like my San Diego roots coming through, and San Diego's chill. I don't know what that means.
San Diego is a violent place. This is not at all. Like, that's your like Chula Vista roots if you're at the border of your hometown.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, Chula Vista is not where I'm from. But it's I just felt like this anger coming. Oh, I thought you said Chula Vista. I just felt this anger coming over me, and I just wanted to slap the leather jacket off the guy in front of me and shake them. I don't know. They were really getting on my nerves, and they weren't even doing anything that ridiculous. Towards the end, he was being ridiculous, but yeah, I just, something was like festering inside of me. And I was like, I can't do anything because I have a kid with me. I can't get kicked out of the stadium.
Would you have fought someone if our daughter wasn't with you? What are you talking about? You're 5 foot nothing. You're so tiny.
I know.
This is crazy. So, you know, I have to tell you, you're talking about the leather jacket. I think it was at halftime when I made that realization. I came down to see you from the press box, and I tweeted before the game. I was like, yeah, you know, a lot of St. Louis fans here, but a lot less than I would have expected. Sophomore slump, question mark. And then what I realized was it's kind of cold, and a lot of them were just wearing coats. So they were incognito. They need to buy some red coats. Red coats, that's like what we call the British, right?
I know.
But they need to buy some red jackets. I think so, yeah. So that they can show their team colors. I know you have a blue coat, for example. So they're acting.
I do, yeah. It's a thinner coat. I wanted to bring my heavier coat that's black, but I went with the lighter blue jacket. I did buy a red jacket for Casey Current and Chiefs. So, you know, they really should invest in a red jacket if you're going to be a diehard fan.
Yeah, agreed.
But maybe they were trying to fit under the radar. I don't know. But yeah, the first goal, I was happy to see Pulido got a goal finally. Chad was asking me if that means I would want to keep him.
But millions of dollars for him to go away 3 years early.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, he's on the right track getting a goal. We need to see more goals from him. I was excited when I thought Daniel Shalloway scored the second goal. But then even I was telling my daughter, like when she wasn't paying attention during, was that goal in the first? Half, no, yeah. That was in the second half when she wasn't paying attention the first half. I had to make some deals with her to get her to watch the second half. But anyways, we were both like, that goal was really good. But I was like, I think that's a known goal. Like I kept saying that, and then they gave him the credit, and I was like, oh, what do I know? I don't know anything about soccer. But then it did turns out I was right. And then the third goal by Eric Tommy, I've been thinking this. I don't know that I've ever said it on the podcast. I don't know that I had said it to you until we were watching the replay, that I think Eric Tommy runs like the Terminator. So we should just start calling him the Terminator. Like, that's a pretty cool nickname.
Terminator Tommy. Yeah, I think that could work.
Yeah, I like it. I'm going to make it a thing. I'm going to make it a shirt. I don't know how to make that, but yeah, like in my head, I see his face and his face on the body of the Terminator.
You're going to need to find an artist that can actually draw that for you, that you can then get it turned into whatever you need to print it off of your machine.
Yeah, it'd be pretty funny, but we need the nickname to like get popular before the shirt, because otherwise it doesn't make sense. But yeah, a good goal by Eric Tommy. Very unfortunate that St. Louis scored in the dying minutes of the game. And going into stoppage time, I predicted this was going to happen. I told our daughter that I felt like another goal was coming for St. Louis. We give up goals all the time late in games. And unfortunately, I predicted that one. I hate that, like, Sporting's becoming very predictable. We can predict they're going to lose a lead. I can predict that they're probably going to give up a goal in the last few minutes. So just kind of unfortunate. I really don't like St. Louis. Like, their rivalry reminds me of when I first started watching Sporting Kansas City and what Real Salt Lake used to be to us. And so, yeah, we really didn't like them. And I really don't like St. Louis. So that's kind of where I'm at with the goals. I think, you know, the first two have some controversy behind them.
So, and I want to interject real quick. Yeah. You said at the end of the game, you predicted it. I tweeted,
yeah,
I'd say unbelievable, but this is what happens to SKC at home in 2024. 92nd minute goal, 3-3. It's predictable at this point. It keeps happening. This homestand, they were at home for 5 of 6 games. They only won one, the first game against San Jose, the worst team in the freaking league. And then they blew 2 leads and lost them, blew 2 leads and tied. And then the only other win they had in that stretch was on the road at Toronto. So they're going to come back and regret these blown leads, I think. I mean, how can you not? So many drop points at home. I want to ask you something, though, Sheena.
Yeah, well, and I think...
So we were talking about the crowd.
Yeah, go for it.
The St. Louis supporters, before the game started, did you notice they were singing, "We're not going to take it," like Twisted Sister? I was like, what are they talking about? They're not going to take losing at Children's Mercy Park, because, by the way, they had only ever lost there before. They still won there, so Sporting still have that. They beat St. Louis and St. Louis. Sporting have not lost at home to St. Louis yet. Almost, but they managed to not do it. So, yeah, "We're not going to take it." I don't know what they were referencing.
I have no idea. I don't remember hearing that. I feel like I couldn't make out a lot of the chants a lot of the time. I don't know if it's because I was so fired up and yelling and screaming and booing. I don't know. But I could, even in the cauldron, I was struggling. Even when we were replaying the game, I was like, what are they saying? So things weren't clear to me.
It sounded like at one point, either they were telling St. Louis to F themselves, or maybe they were saying, "Go back to St. Louis." I couldn't tell. I thought it was maybe "go back to St. Louis," but it's hard to say. Speaking of other, like, atmosphere-based things, huge shout out to the people that painted and the artwork on the TIFO. "Abandon all hope, ye who enter here." I think it was Sheena thought it was said something else. That's why she laughed right there. But I think, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong, that these are the gates of the blue hell. Like, they're coming into the gates of the blue hell and abandon all hope. And I think "abandon all hope," if Alan Chapman is your referee, might be a better way to put that on the bottom of the TIFO. I don't know that you can put a referee. I guess Calder could do whatever they want on the TIFO.
Yeah. I was struggling to read what it said, I think because it was like an old-timey font, but I didn't even realize that till Chad pointed it out. I thought "ye" was "we," and I was like, this must be like a Game of Thrones thing based on like what I thought it said, like something Lord of the Rings, something, no offense to those who like it, but something I consider nerdy. So that's why I thought I didn't get the reference.
I was sitting next to Robert Russert and Jimmy Mack, my KC Soccer Journal colleagues, and we were like, is this a reference to something? I was like, maybe it's the gates of the blue hell. And they're like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe. We just like, we didn't know what it was. We're like, it looks really cool, but I don't really know. So if any of you are Cauldron members that are involved in the creation, or I know a lot of you are involved in the painting because some of y'all sent me some tweets, but let us know. I don't know. I'm intrigued. Maybe it is a reference to something, because there's a lot of like video game, and there's that amazing Game of Thrones TIFO from several years back where the Ice King is lifting up, and then the "Welcome to the Blue Hell" is in the Game of Thrones font. Oh, when you play into one of my nerd things, which my nerd things are Game of Thrones and Star Wars for sure. I mean, I'm a nerd about all kinds of things. You could say I'm a nerd about Sporting and a nerd about UFC and the level of nerdiness that goes. I said Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Seconds ago. Pay attention.
Oh, yeah. You did say that. Sorry.
Atmosphere talks before we get to, I want to skip ahead and then we'll come back and talk refereeing, but I want to talk about the post-game comments.
I will say this. St. Louis did have a good turnout, all things considered. I think it's a game that's easy to get to because it's just the other side. I guess technically you can't, crossing over into Kansas, but it's a close game. So their fans did show up. So kudos to them. Like, I can respect that. I found the people in my immediate area annoying, but I'm sure there was some nice people overall. I mean, they did show up, and it was tough because tickets did get so low. I was even posting on our Instagram the day of the game, hoping maybe more people. Yeah. Yeah. Like, hoping that if tickets were cheap enough, people who may not have considered going would go to either game, either that or KC Current. But I was hoping Sporting, just because of the rivalry, because I was like, I bet there's some people who Friday night, like me, over in, like, there in St. Louis, and we're like, you know what, let's just make the drive. Tickets are only $25 or whatever. So it was, I guess, if you're a St. Louis fan, it was a good turnout.
Yeah, we did.
But they were annoying. Oh, and I almost died by one of their flags leaving the game. I don't know why they didn't wrap the flag up and carry it to their vehicle, but they were they weren't even waving it like proudly or anything. They were just holding it, and it was up high, but it was so windy that like I got engulfed in it, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna die by a St. Louis flag. I'm going to suffocate. Yeah. And then we were saying, my daughter was like, I bet nobody's ever died that way before. And I was like, not by like a St. Louis or a soccer flag, I'm sure, in other countries.
I feel like you could breathe.
That seems like something
flag,
that might happen.
I don't know
but...
what you think is going to happen. Like, how thick is this material? Or are they stuffing it into your mouth? Like, did you put it in your mouth?
I don't know.
Like,
it was a huge flag.
That's good.
No. In all fairness, it was kind of a cool flag. It was one of their supporter section flags. Los St. Louis, I think it was. It had the colors of Real Madrid, like yellow and red.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even know what I'm talking about. I don't know why I'm pretending I know international teams.
They call
but...
me all white because they wear no maroon.
Well, like maroon.
Barcelona has. Barcelona has like
Barcelona?
I don't know. You're off the rails. You said, I'm sure there's nice people.
Anyways.
It reminded me of Trump saying after Charlottesville, oh, there's good people on both sides. I guess we have to say that. Nah, we know people from St. Louis. Actually, some KC Soccer Journal writers are from St. Louis. I don't hate the city, but I do hate the team for sure. So.
Oh,
yeah.
I love St. Louis, the city. The city, I'm sure the people are great. It's a good rivalry, and it's better than the Minnesota one for sure.
Let's switch gears. Speaking of Minnesota, that's
for sure.
Game, the friendliest rivalry, the nonsense rivalry. But let's talk about the post-game quotes. So remember last week I said, hey, I'm going to ask Peter about all these drop points. Well, Daniel Sperry beat me to it. He gets to go first. He's the KC star writer, so he always gets the first question, which is fine. He took the heat off of me. I don't have to ask that tough question. And so Sperry says, why is the team not able to see out games in which they're winning? And this is Vermees' response. I think you guys are all focused on that. And I think you guys miss the game. Because when you watch games like this, they're entertaining. Do we want to be on that side of it? No. But it's the same thing when we're away to Toronto. We scored 3 goals. It happens. Right now, we played quite a few games at home. And that's the situation that occurred. But you know, you're going to expect sometimes other teams are going to come. I think that we're better at it. I think we're getting better at it. And I think we'll continue to do that over the course of the season. And then this is the part that I really want to emphasize. You guys are worried about it. I'm not. So we're worried about the team losing leads, blowing leads, and not closing games. Sometimes losing the game, sometimes tying the game. But Peter Vermees is not worried about it. Like, what are we talking about? The goal is to win the games. Who is it that says, is that Herm Edwards? Do you remember that football quote? You play to win the game. Is that not what's supposed to be happening? Are we okay with draws and losses? What? Sheena, I intentionally waited to read this quote to you until the podcast. Let me just reread that last line. You guys are worried about it. I'm not. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think there's something to be worried about because this situation that we're in this season is completely different than other seasons where we've started off bad because we've been healthy. So I actually tweeted about this a little bit earlier today when I was getting caught up on Twitter instead of running errands. But it's like we're healthy this season outside of Logan and Dembe. Our bench has been pretty healthy and we're not winning games.
Yeah,
we're not
Miami,
losing them, I guess. I mean,
LA
we lost Inter Miami, but for the most part, yeah, but we have a lot of draws in there. So I think that like maybe he's not worried, but he's not taking into consideration that he doesn't use subs. We're going to be starting the Open Cup. So there's more of a risk of, if you're playing the same guys you play every week, of exhaustion and injury. And because you don't make subs, people are going to be injured. We're one of the oldest teams in the league. So I think there is something to be worried about, because come summer, like last season, that's when we started getting hot, was in the summer. But
we're not one of the oldest
teams. I don't know that that's going to happen.
They are the oldest team in the league. 29.7 average age.
We are.
Also,
yeah, we are.
They don't use their subs. They are the worst at not using their subs. They have 55 unused subs this year through 9 games. What is happening? That's a ton of unused subs.
Yeah,
and,
it's not.
They also have used the least amount of players. Only 18 players of their 30-man roster. Well, they only have 28 on their roster, but they've only used 18 of them. 10 guys haven't seen the field. You're going to wear people down.
Yeah, and my thing is, I mean, we've talked about this before. Like, clearly, Peter Vermes doesn't have a lot of trust on who's on the bench. But why even have those players? What is the point of having a bench if you're not going to use them?
Like, I think that's how he looks at it.
It's going to be another.
He's only putting them in if it's an emergency. Remember, we were so excited in the first game. He made 5 subs, and then never again. Never again.
I know. He teased us. Like, he gave us false hope. I just think there's something to be worried about. And maybe, you know, he was saying this last season too, when we were losing all like those first 10 games and we only had 3 goals, he was saying the same thing, that he wasn't worried. But again, like, I think he's settling for a team that's a mediocre when you could have greatness and not run players to the ground. And so I don't understand it. I think it's also kind of a slap in the face to the fans who are frustrated. Like, you saying stuff like that doesn't make the fans feel good, because we're not feeling great about this team. Like, I think the frustration is starting to mount to the equation of last season when we had only scored 3 goals in 10 games. So we're getting to that point. I think it's time for them to head to the ranch and work out whatever.
Right. Yeah, it was a ranch.
They did. Was it the ranch they went to? Whatever it was. They need a powwow or something to regroup. And it's just so weird, because it's a completely different situation from last season. But it's starting to become an equally frustrating situation. And the way he's addressing it to the media, and the fans are hearing about it, it's just not a good look.
I'm not sure if he was saying we, the media, were too
worried
about
it. Maybe he doesn't care.
Fans are too worried about it, but winning, that's what it's supposed to all be about. You said the ranch too. I was standing right next to Mike Illig, like 5 feet away from him in the locker room. They're filming a documentary. By the way, I'm totally going to be in that documentary if they use some of that footage, because I was in the shots. I was like, well, I am right here. I guess this is just happening. I was trying to have good posture and everything. So, I told you all
about
it.
What's the documentary?
I can't remember how long ago. The people that make Drive to Survive and some of those documentaries, they're making MLS documentaries. And one of them we think is going to be about rivalries, because this week there was a press conference midweek where they bribed media people with breakfast to get them to show up, so it would look like a full media room. And Peter Vermes was actually like kind of surprised when he came out and he saw how many people were in the room, is what, according to, I think Cody told me that. I'm not sure. Cody Bradley. So I missed that chance. Should have talked to Mike Illig. Blown there. We were talking about the rotation and everything. I know you didn't read it, but I wrote an article for the KC Soccer Journal saying this is a must-win game. I know that no 9th game of a 34-game season is truly must-win, right? But they should win for a lot of reasons. One, take advantage of all the new eyeballs that might be watching for this another time. There were people on Reddit saying, hey, how do I watch these games? I went to the Messi game. I've never been to a game before. I'm going to keep watching. Do I have to get this Apple TV thing or Apple MLS season pass? Yes, you do. But then we told them. The people on there told them. So there was that guy, and he had like a spouse. So that's 2 people. Hey, we're bringing in the new fans. But talking about that, I said that. But then I also said, you want to beat your rival St. Louis. You haven't taken advantage of these home games. You need to start winning games. And you're going to grind your guys into dust. So a lot of the points you made, even though I know you didn't read my article, look at us, just thinking alike. Great minds.
I know. I'm thinking like a hardcore, passionate fan. Am I losing my casualness?
And they're like only one of the biggest soccer teams in the world. One other thing I want to mention when you're talking about not rotating players. They only made one sub, 54th minute. Johnny Russell comes on for Willy Agata. They switch out of the 4-2-3-1 into the 4-3-3. Tommy moves into the midfield. And it worked really well because he scored a goal, except for, I guess, defensively, it didn't work. But there was this article on MLSsoccer.com right before the Miami game. Charles Bohm, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name right, interviewed Peter Vermees. And one of the things that said that Peter said to Charles was that he had learned to take the long view. He sweats the details. He believes in his players. He believes in his players. He told Charles a story about remembering an undefeated start. This is like 2012. This is a long time ago, where the undefeated start came to a halt because he didn't sufficiently rotate his starting 11 on a road trip to Portland on short rest. And then the quote says, quote, "I realized what I didn't do was I didn't demonstrate trust in the team. And I'm saying that's the whole team, whole roster, not just the 11 guys," end quote. So he's saying he didn't trust the team to rotate them. And he's learned a lesson from that. But what lesson did he learn? He never rotates. Like, never is strong.
Right? Really?
I'm being hyperbolic. But literally the least amount of players used, literally the least amount of subs used. And it's not like the starting lineup changes that much from game to game. I thought for sure it'd be a different starting lineup this game because Remy Voltaire had gotten crushed in the Miami game. Somehow he played 90. Would it have been better to stick Memo on for 15 or 20? Like, maybe, maybe not.
Because
like, Memo, he reads the game really well. He delivers a nice set piece ball. And he is a little slow. Remy did.
But he's slow.
At times I pick on him because he passes backwards a little too much. But gutsy performance from him to go 90 minutes after being hurt. And he got whacked in the ankle during the game, too. And by the way, no call. Yeah. You know what? I think that's a perfect transition.
Oh, my God.
Transition.
And it wasn't
you
even
talk
a foul.
About the referees?
Yeah. Wait. No, I don't. I don't. I want to say something about Remy. First of all, when they called his name, like when they were announcing the lineup in the stadium, I heard several
Maybe
people around me
influence.
Say Remy was their favorite player. So I don't know about that, but I think people appreciate his hustle. And I mean, especially given last week, he left right before halftime with an injury and it looked pretty bad. And you saw him in, you know, a boot, and then the fact he's playing the very next week, I think says something about who he is as a player. He knew it was a big game, and I am surprised they kept him in the whole 90 minutes, honestly. Like, I don't know. It's tough. Remy is just a different player than Memo, and Memo does read the game well. He delivers fantastic corners. There's a lot to like about Memo, but his speed is one thing that I understand why Peter didn't put him in, because St. Louis, when they got going, they were quick, and Memo couldn't have kept up. I don't feel confident about that. So I get why you don't put him in. And to give Peter Vermees just a scotch of credit, he did try putting Kyrie Shelton in. I don't know why Kyrie never made it into the game, but around the 85th minute, he stood there into stoppage time, I think waiting to come on, and they just never brought him on. You were saying Kyrie would have been a good sub to make because for Polito, because he could run all over the place. And he's kind of aggressive at times.
I said if there was ever a time to play Kyrie Shelton, I'm not saying there is, but if there ever was a time, it's when you're up and it's a physical game like this, because he can go in, be physical. Apparently, Chapman wasn't calling fouls, so he could have just bodied some guys off the ball, killed some time, worked hard, ran into the corner, pressured the goalkeeper, things like that. Versus Polito, that's not his game. He's not doing that.
Yeah. So, I just wanted to give the shout out to the people who also like Remy. It's not just me. Not that I thought it was just me, but it was cool to hear several people around me say, I really like Remy. Remy is my favorite.
You need to watch those documentaries. What's about the game that happened last week?
Was it
and
about
they
Remy?
They showed a shot of him in the locker room. Because remember, he had just gotten hurt right before halftime. They showed a shot of him at halftime. Oh. He looked like he was in so much pain. So it just goes to show, like, what a tough dude. He wasn't practicing at the beginning of the week. To be able to come back and play like that and play nice and play well. Like, once or twice I saw him like touch his ankle and checking on it and everything. But gutsy performance. I wonder, I hope it's nothing that's going to carry long term and that he can kind of either play through it, or maybe they just played it because it was St. Louis and they're like, hey, we need you in this game because they are going to be going fast and you have pace and effort and you can kind of effort back at them a little bit. All right, I've got one more Peter Vermees quote
let's
that
talk
I
about
want
the refs.
To talk about that's going to lead to that. He was doing everything in his power to not diss the refs, but he was talking smack about the refs without saying it was the refs. He said, one quote was, quote, We had to fight against more than St. Louis, end quote. And then another one, this was to his players, quote, you got to stop talking to the ref and run through guys, end quote, because, you know, he wasn't calling anything, so just start going banging into people. But then as that quote continues, he says, quote, if he wants to let it go, comma, I wish he'd let it go. Well, he didn't say comma. I don't know why I read the comma that I wrote down. And oh, man. So basically he's saying, hey, the guy's letting everything happen. Oh, and then all of a sudden he's not letting everything happen. And man, pro, driving me nuts. Alan Chapman was the lead ref. He was referee of the year a few years ago, which is hard to believe because he did not call. It was a really bad game. It was a really bad game. And my problem is
he was atrocious. Yeah.
We've talked about it before. Pro, consistently inconsistent, right? That's their tagline. I don't think it's official. I don't think they print it on the badge that they, you know, sew onto the chest or whatever, or iron on. I don't know how those badges are put on there. But beginning of the game, he's calling every ticky-tack nothing. I'm like, all right, well, that's good. That favors Sporting because St. Louis are physical, and if he's going to call them for all their fouls, they're going to rack up yellow cards. But then he was calling nothing. Guys are getting crushed, and he is calling nothing. So let's talk about those first two St. Louis goals, because I think that's where a lot of the controversy lives. The first goal, Tim Leibold gets bodied off the ball. Maybe it's shoulder to shoulder. Kind of looks like he gets him a little bit inside the shoulder, kind of on the front of the chest there. Hard to say. Then a bad pass, frankly, just slips by the guy I think it was intended for. Jake Davis stops his run just a little bit. João Klaus beats him to the ball, slots it past Tim Melia. Did you think where Leibold got knocked down, which, by the way, him and Fontas, if they just communicated better, they kind of ran into each other, one of them could have just cleared it. Did you think that was a foul?
I did think it was a foul. It looked very physical. It looked painful. So I was shocked that nothing was called. And then, of course, it led to the goal. And it was just unfortunate. And I'm with you. The inconsistencies with reffing is just very frustrating. And I know you have a newfound respect because you just did your first game, but I just feel like if you're going to be a ref, you need to
consistent,
be just more accurate, precise.
Let it be physical. Not, if you're going to not let it be physical, don't let it be physical.
Consistent.
You can't go back and forth. You can't have it both ways. That's what ticks me off. The fouls were so out of control. Can I talk about the second goal?
Well, and wait, hold on. Well, the one thing I was going to say is that if you notice that the ref isn't calling the fouls, then the tactic should be you need to switch up your game plan and be a little more physical, because which I think some players were doing it. Jake Davis is one that comes to mind, maybe because he got a yellow. But there was some players who were playing a little bit more physical. But I just feel like if he's not calling anything and they're running you over and fouling you constantly, then you need to do the same back
and run through guys.
That's just my thought.
If they're running through, you got to run back through them. So speaking of running through guys, the second goal, Willie got out of the ball. He takes a touch away from João Klaus, who makes a long run at least 10 yards away, sprinting, ready to gotta. He drills it. Alan Chapman immediately points to his shoulder, saying shoulder to shoulder. But the ball's not there. He's not playing the ball. He just kills him. And then Klaus takes the ball, dribbles a little bit, passes to Celio Pompeu, who scored a great goal, frankly. But listening back, because we watched part of the broadcast back, Twellman thought it was a foul. He literally says, enjoy this replay because VAR is coming. Because he thought it was going to get changed because it was so clearly a foul. Remember last year against LAFC, Sheena, where Kyrie Shelton kicked Aaron Long on a play, and then like a minute later, Sporting scored and they went all the way back a minute. This was seconds before the goal and they don't go back to it. It's an egregiously bad call to me. After the game, Twellman, they talked about it all the way from there until all the way through stoppage time of the first half. They talked about it during halftime. They talked about it coming out of the half. He talked about it in the post game. It was a foul. Do you agree?
I do agree. It was definitely a foul. I mean, Willie Agata slid. He was hit so hard.
He
slid a few feet. Yeah.
There was this pretty clever tweet. As much as I was, you know, upset that the blown call is pretty funny. The guy slides for all of time. So really, really good gif somebody made.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. But yeah, I mean, it definitely felt like a foul to me. It was a beautiful goal. It would have been a better goal had it been without controversy, I guess. But I don't know what game the ref was watching, but he wasn't paying attention. Even our daughter was like, I could ref better than this. And she said something like, does he know someone on St. Louis? And I was like, no, probably not. I was like, I don't know why he's not calling things, but hey, if we want to get into conspiracy theories, I think he had some money going on in St. Louis winning.
So let's talk about a few other plays. Like, that's such a swinging play. But what I think really got to me is St. Louis committed 21 fouls. 21 fouls that were called, not to mention all the ones that were not called. But they got literally no yellow cards from fouls. They did get two yellows, one for delaying a restart and one for Pompeo, like, slapping Jake Davis in the back of the head. Don't know what that was about. But at least they gave him a yellow. I don't know. The last two times Jake Davis played St. Louis, he got hit in the head and they called nothing. Once he got headbutted by a guy and they called nothing. So at least they gave a yellow. I don't know. Progress. But the ones I wanted to talk about were in the first half, there is a St. Louis player gets hurt. I forget who is hurt. But then Alm drags down Remy Voltaire from behind because they're complaining that the play is not stopped. But he doesn't have a head injury. Does he give a yellow for them dragging a guy down? No, he did later in the game when Jake Davis drug a guy down. But all day, every day, when you don't play the ball and you pull a guy to the ground, it's supposed to be a yellow card. It's not a head injury. It's a blown call. Later on in the first half, Markanich, I don't know how to say that guy's name, he had already committed two fouls on Eric Tommy. A third foul goes uncalled. He slides to the ground, misses the ball, kicks Tommy in the ankle, basically. And Tommy trips. They just give a throw in. The assistant referee is right there. I don't know what he's watching. And then even later, Markanich again fouls Tommy in the second half, like knee-to-knee contact. It's not a good foul. And it just a foul is given. No yellow. What are we watching? Like, what are you seeing, Alan Chapman? I'm flabbergasted. I get so pissed off about bad refereeing. The referees just need to, obviously, you're not going to be perfect, right? But to miss so many calls feels utterly ridiculous to me.
I agree. It made the game hard to follow, I feel like, at times, because what you thought would be a foul in any other game wasn't being called. And the Remy one really surprised me because, I mean, he was on the ground. It was a foul. Obviously, we just talked about both goals. It was fouls that led to those goals.
Agreed.
So I just... Okay. Well, I'm going to say it was a foul. Yeah. I mean, what do I know? I don't know enough to really be calling fouls, but it looked like a foul to me. It was aggressive. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. But yeah, I just feel like the game was plagued with missed calls. And then it's like, we have like five.
We had three
yellow cards, and two of them were for talking back.
Even the broadcast. Daniel Shalloway. Jake Zivin, the other announcer. I forget who it was now. Chris Durkin comes through Shalloway's back. He like decks him in the back. A foul was called. Shalloway gets up. He must have said something, but he holds his hand up saying, give him a card. Like, he does the symbol for like, hand him a card. And Chapman sure did pull out a card, but he gave it to Daniel Shalloway for dissent. Zivin thought Durkin got a yellow, which would have been his fifth, and he would be suspended. Radoya got one as well for dissent. He got knocked. He got pushed from behind by João Klaus while he was in the air jumping for a ball, and he gets up and complains and holds his hand up for a card, given one for dissent. I didn't know you're not allowed to signal for cards, because João Klaus signaled that Sporting should have got some cards. They didn't go give Klaus a one for, he must not have said anything. It must be the words they're saying along with holding their hands up. I'm not sure, but really, really tough. Davis's yellow was deserved. He pulled the guy down, and the bummer is Davis is now suspended. He's not going to play against Minnesota United because of yellow card accumulation. So I guess time for KP.
I'm excited to see KP. I'm a KP fan. I mean, I'm a Jake Davis fan too, but I would be curious to see them both on the field at the same time, honestly.
Yeah, and I don't think they're going to put Jake in
the
midfield.
That's not happening against Minnesota United for obvious reasons.
And so probably not going to see them together, but you never know. You never know. Well, maybe one time somebody will end up at left back. Sometimes they'll put a fullback on the other side, but they're both right-footed guys. I could complain about the refs for a lot longer. 21 fouls, no yellows during the run-up play. No persistent infringement yellows, too. Like, at what point do you say, oh, you're fouling the same player over and over? 21 fouls. Eric Tommy suffered several of those. You could easily give a card for persistent infringement. Okay, but I'm going to let it go. Sheena, any other thoughts about the ref before we kind of wrap up this first game?
No, I mean, the refing sucked. And even I saw St. Louis fans were kind of surprised, too. Some of them were being jerks, but some did agree, at least with that second one, that it was a foul. So I don't know. It is what it is. It just sucks. It should have been a game we maybe
Doesn't
won.
Doesn't that feel like the whole season,
won,
though?
It should have
been a game we no, maybe
we
won. Well, I got
drew and we only got
14
one point.
Drop points from a winning position through 9 games.
Yeah.
12 of those drop points are at home. I saw one of the guys in our Slack, Ben, he put a tweet that said, hey, those 14 drop points, if they just had those, if that 14 points was a team, they'd be in fifth place. If those 14 points were added to Sporting KC's total, they'd be way in first place. Best record in the league. But if it was its own team, it'd be fifth place. They've dropped more points than they've earned. They've only got 11. They've dropped 14. That's crazy. Yeah, they drop below the line.
So,
they're down in 10th now.
Do you know where they're at in the standings
now?
They're
only 7 points out of first
place. Because I haven't looked
today. So it's not like it's that far away. But last week it was only 5. The week before that it was only 3. Cannot keep dropping points and expect to catch up. And Minnesota is ahead of them. Minnesota's way up in 5th, and that's the next opponent. So Minnesota's looked pretty good this year. They slumped a little bit lately. They were way up towards the top for a bit, but they're playing pretty decent. They do have some nice-looking kits. Best home and away.
And they have those amazing jerseys. They have the best jerseys in the league. Yeah. Maybe this is what Sporting needs, is to not be in front of their home crowd. Maybe they'll do better on the road. You were saying Johnny Russell looked pretty sad in the locker room or whatever. So I think the team is probably feeling it, like especially against a rival.
Yeah,
when
a lot of road
you
games.
Gave up a lead in the last couple
Remember
minutes.
Said,
it's
hey, they
depressing.
Played 5 out of 6
so,
in a row at home. They're about to play
they need
5
a
out of
redemption
6 in a row
game.
On the road. Now, one of those is a U.S. Open Cup game, so it doesn't count in the standings, right? But they are on the road at Minnesota, on the road at Real Salt Lake, a tough place to play, elevation. Back home against Houston, that's after the Omaha game. Then on the road at Austin, on the road at Portland. You're going to have these like little mini two-game road trips over and over to balance the schedule out. They've played quite a few more home games than road games, and they haven't gotten the points. So real bummer. Their one win, like I said, literally against the worst team in the league at home. They beat San Jose. So San Jose's in dead last entirely. It's rough. So entering the St. Louis game, I have one last stat for you here. Sporting Kansas City had only trailed 8% of all the games, yet they have not that many wins. They only have 2 wins. So that's one that's going to come back to bite them. Let's move on, though. Let's talk about some sad Kansas City soccer news. Courtney, the man that Sheena can never remember his name. She did a bio on him once and then re-forgot his name. Well, she's going to forget him again because he has announced his retirement.
Aww.
So he had to have full knee replacement after an injury he picked up.
No.
I don't know if he got injured in that UMKC preseason game that I saw. Remember when I said down in the preseason game and then he hasn't appeared at all for SKC2 this year? But he is retiring.
I'm really bummed about this. I read the full post on his Instagram. I got teary-eyed because it's really sad. He's had a career plagued with injuries, and I think he even said he wanted to come back and prove that he could still do it, and his body's saying something otherwise. And that just broke my heart. Like, I can't imagine. Obviously, I've never been athletic. I've never held a professional career in sports, but to do something you absolutely love and then to have to leave it, and like that uncertainty, I think would probably be hard, not knowing that next step. It sounds like he does know the next
That's
step because
right, yeah.
I saw he's opening a soccer, I think indoor soccer facility. So it sounds like he's staying in Kansas City. So I would love to see him in some sort of leadership role, maybe with SKC2 or Sporting. I think that would be cool because I think he does bring a lot, but just very unfortunate. Hey, maybe he could be the
like
other role that
Sporting's
looking to hire,
no
the sports director or whatever.
I admire you looking for Courtney to have a job. Prestige Indoor
okay.
Sports is his new indoor soccer
okay.
facility.
Well,
he's going to do with his wife.
I know.
That is a great question. His Instagram story
yeah.
did not tell me the address and name, but I'm sure
where's it going to be
built
at?
That they'll put that information out. And who knows? We play
Gosh.
Indoor. Our daughter plays indoor in the winter, so maybe we'll play some games at Prestige Indoor.
Yeah.
You can meet him. You could say, sorry that I forgot your name for 2 seasons of this podcast.
The Northland. Yeah. Don't remind me. I feel so bad that I just forget his name, not him. I know his whole story. I'm a huge fan of him. Just something about his name I can't remember
yes,
always.
True.
But You know, the Northland could really use an indoor soccer league. We were driving pretty far, so
yeah, fingers maybe crossed that his wife is from
maybe
up
he's
here.
In the Northland
she,
and he's going to build
person.
A place
they
up
met.
Here.
Maybe I'm not sure, but the fact that they're staying here is cool, and I wish them nothing but the best. Going into the season, I said, man, I cannot believe this guy's on SKC too. He should be signed to the first team. He's at least the third best center back on the roster. And we our theory, I think, at the time was maybe they're just seeing how his knee is recovering, or his Achilles. I can't remember. I think it was Achilles that he was coming back off of, and seeing how that's recovering. And then they're just going to move him to the first team when he's proves to be healthy. And then sadly, that's not coming.
It's heartbreaking. I wish him all the success with whatever he does outside of, maybe his whole thing is going to be this indoor sports soccer arena, but whatever he does, I hope it's successful, because it's really a bummer.
5-2 win and third ever home game. Goals by Bailey Feist and then braces by Chowinga and Bia, both getting 2-goal games. A little bit of change in the starting lineup. Haley Mace was back, starts for Izzy Rodriguez. There's no other changes. I thought it was interesting that instead of putting Izzy on, they actually put in Regan Steiglider. I'm sure I'm saying her name wrong. Sorry. Reagan. I don't know why I said it all weird. She came on for Mace. Still no Dabinia. She's out. I asked Daniel Sperry, he said 4 to 6 weeks, and we're about 4 weeks into that. So hopefully we'll see her pretty soon, but still undefeated. Best team in the NWSL. They scored 14 goals in their first three home matches. It's a record. They are remarkable. KC Curran, Sheena.
Man, KC Curran are so good. After we got home from the sporting game last night, we turned it on. I was exhausted from all the yelling. So I think I only made it to halftime. I think I saw a little bit of the second half. I saw at least two or three goals by KC Curran. But yeah, they look so good. And they, I think, in the first half could have had more than what they did. But they came out, I think it was in the first minute 26 is when they scored their first goal, something like that. Yeah, like what a crazy way to start the game. Just the energy, you could hear it in the stadium. It was pretty remarkable. And I just am so excited. It feels so good to have a winning team, because Sporting Kansas City, like, they're what got me into soccer. So I do have more of a love for them. But KC Curran, man, they're stealing a piece of my heart, and I am here for it. And I don't know. It was just such a fun game to watch. I never really felt like there was, well, for the part I watched, it never felt like it was oh my gosh, I didn't really feel nervous at any point in the game from what I saw.
Watching it.
I don't know if you, as you saw the whole game.
I will admit, like, I knew that they had won as well. It's hard for me to focus on a game when I know the outcome. I was distracted. I was going back and editing the recap I wrote for the Sporting KC game, because I wrote it so fast that I just published it, and then it had freaking typos and stuff. It should be hopefully cleaned up by now. But Sheena, I wanted to say something to you real quick about Bia. So she scored in that second minute, and it reminded me of St. Louis last year a little bit, where the Bay FC team player, they passed it right to her, and then she just went in and scored. Which St. Louis had happened a bunch of times last year, which has really slowed them down this year, not getting those cheap goals. But speaking of Bia, do you want to tell your story about that you didn't realize what Bia's name was? I thought you said you thought her
no,
last
I knew
name
her first
was
name
Bia.
Was Bia. I didn't know her last name. So when I was seeing...
Benaretto.
No, you misunderstood me. I didn't know her last name was... It starts with a Z. Yeah. So when I was seeing things online about who scored the goals, I was like, who is this? What's her last name? Zermedo? Oh, yeah. Well, I kept seeing that name. I was like, why don't I know who this player is? But it is because Bia is what's on her jersey. And then when she scored, at some point I made the connection that that's her last name.
Her last name's on her jersey, actually.
It's like I knew her first name was on her jersey. Yeah. I forgot. I just never knew what her last name was.
The Brazilian players are kind of known for just going by their first name, right? There's also Lauren.
How about that? I've never paid attention.
Albania, right? These are all their first names, right? And then if you just think of there's
and then Dabinia, of course.
There's Brazil. There's Brazilian Ronaldo. Well, he's Argentinian, but you get the idea there. That's not his first name. His
Yeah,
first name's Lionel.
Messi.
He doesn't go by Lionel, Sheena. You're blowing this.
Well,
You just said, I'm talking about people going by their first name, and you said Messi, so I don't know.
no, are you
It's too
serious? I
late for
had
you right now,
no
clearly.
idea.
Neymar, you know Neymar, right? That's his first name. So, yeah, that's just kind of Mar are you? Yeah, you're getting the casual stuff again. Marta, do you know Marta, the Brazilian
I've
player?
heard of
Oh my
him.
gosh. Yeah, well, remember how you asked, I don't know, half an hour ago, maybe I'm not so casual anymore. I think you're locking it in.
Nope. Now,
Of
about
course, yeah.
Sporting Kansas City. Obviously,
Well,
maybe I'm a little more
I'm way
hardcore about
more hardcore
Sporting
about
Kansas
Sporting Kansas
City.
City. I
I
don't
don't
know
know
that
some
I'm
basic
as
things about
casual.
other teams
Every
around the
other
world, but I
soccer
do
for
know like
sure.
some bare
Um,
minimum things.
also, I was going to also say that I have been thinking about who my favorite player on Casey Curran is. And She?
despite
What's her
everything I
name,
just said
Sheena?
about not
She?
knowing her last name, she is my favorite player. Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. Hey.
Oh
Oh, you
man, but
laughed. I
yeah,
couldn't understand you. You're
she
just
is my favorite
falling over your
player.
microphone there, so I didn't know what was
Yeah,
happening.
I said it. I was laughing through it. Yeah, I was laughing through it. Yeah. Sorry. Okay. But
Well,
yeah,
the
I
Dia
mean,
is
I
exceptionally
like
fast. She
her
uses her body
speed.
really well. She's
Speed, it
not
means a
slow,
lot
don't
to
get me
me because
wrong.
Remy's fast too.
She's
So,
quick, but she's no Chewinga. Let's talk about Temwa Chewinga for a second. Oh my goodness. But yeah, it reminds us of Lo after the first game saying, Temwa, you ain't seen nothing yet with
oh
Temwa.
yeah,
So
she's good
you'll have to tell your
too.
Lo story here in a sec. But Vanessa DiBernardo assists on both Temwa Chewinga goals 3 and 4 in the game. Oh, Temwa, man, she is exciting. And think, what's going to happen when Davinha comes back? When Michelle Cooper is healthy enough to start, she's subbed on again. When Nichelle Prince comes back from injury, where are they going to play all these people? It's an embarrassment of riches. And I just think back to the two or three people that hated on my tweet that said this roster is loaded before they played any games. This roster is loaded. Look at the current. Oh, tell your Lola Bonta story, Sheena. Yeah, you almost became best friends with Lo, except for you didn't see her, so that made it
Is the
harder
story
for
that
that
we
to
are both
happen.
at the same place today?
There's no way
Except
she's listening. It's
I
way too
didn't
far in
see her.
the
I went with my friend and her family. Hey, Melanie, if you're still listening. Okay, probably. But we went to Fun Farm today for the last day of the Tulip Festival. And I think we were there around the same time. I did not see them, but I did see on Lowe's Instagram this evening that she was there. And I think she was there around the same time I was. But I also was like deep in conversation with my friend. So I wasn't doing my typical like people watching. Chad said I should have gone up to her had I seen her and told Roger, because Roger was there too, that like
There's no way you
he
would have
knows
done
my
that. I was making fun
husband
of that.
and
That would be
that we should
hilarious
become
if you.
best
I
friends.
can't even
And
imagine you talking
I
to them
don't
in person,
think I
but
would have
I
done
think you
any
would
of
like
that.
Lo.
Like,
She's little like you. You all are both small.
no.
You have that in common. Obviously, she's like a world-class athlete, and you're not quite.
Yeah. She's a hilarious on her Instagram. Like Chad is, I feel like the difference between Chad and I is Chad has a lot of personality and he'll like tell people, I write for the Kansas City Soccer Journal. I have a podcast. Literally, I never tell anybody. Like a lot of
You don't know
my
that.
like friends and family don't even know I have a podcast. Like not that
They might do
I
it
just am
just to
like no,
support you.
nobody's gonna listen to it. They're not into soccer. But it's true, I don't. But last night, I don't. I told my mom, and she has never listened, so I don't think so. If I can't get my mom, I don't know.
Second shout out for
But
you today.
last night, I made the first attempt. The guy sitting next to me, hey, if you're listening, sorry, I don't remember your name. I don't actually know that I got his name. If I did, I'm sorry, I don't remember. But I did tell him because he was like starstruck. He saw your media credential when you came down at halftime, and he was like very excited, thinking you were somebody. And I was like, oh, he thinks he's somebody. And I was like, you basically met a local celebrity. And then I was like, actually, you were kind of sitting next to a local celebrity. And then I plugged our podcast. So I never do that. That was like me going way out of my
It's okay.
comfort
Maybe
zone.
one
Like
day you'll get
I
there. You were on almost
just.
on Channel 5 News
I
last
like
week. You
to
had that
remain
missed
anonymous.
opportunity there to switch over. Yeah,
I
absolutely, right? You just you
I
It could have
almost
happened.
could have
You
become best
could have
friends
been
with
there, but
Roger
hey,
and Lo.
soon enough, you'll get there.
It's
Oh, maybe. Oh,
coming.
you know what?
Something big
Hold
is
up. We got a new
coming.
follower. Maybe this is the guy, Norbert. If it's you, hey Norbert, what's up, bro? If it's not, hey Norbert, thanks for listening and thanks for following our Instagram account.
Maybe chat.
Oh, is it on the Casey Current or no? Because I got one more Casey Current thing before we get off that
Chad,
game.
I wanted to talk, like,
Okay, keep
change the
going. Yeah, talk
subject, but
about it.
keep the subject going. Yeah,
I'm
it is Casey
seriously
Current
doubt it's
about.
what it's gonna what I was gonna say. Say your thing.
Well, I think it's probably what you were gonna say. I'll let you say it because I
Oh,
don't say
Alex Loeda. Loeda. No. Loeda. Put a D in it.
Loreya. I
Just
don't
make it a
ever
D
say her
sound
name
and then
right
that's how she
on
taught us to say
BFC,
it
the
so that
former
we would not butcher
Loreya.
it.
Yeah, I can't
Loeda.
roll my
Now I can't
R.
even say it because Loeda. Loeda.
Okay.
Just put a D instead of an R in there. Loeda. Yeah.
Loreya, La
Oh, I didn't. I knew she left in the first half. Oh, what a
Loreda?
tragedy to come
I
back and play
okay.
your old team and now be done for the
Anyways,
year.
did you see she tore her ACL in the game? Yeah, she I know. She just announced it like 30 minutes ago. Well, it's probably been like 45. I saw it like 30 minutes ago. Yeah, and her post is just very sad. I almost cried. If you saw me like get really sad like 15 minutes ago, I was reading her post. But yeah, she tore her
Oh,
ACL and she'll be out for the rest of the season,
they
which is
traded
so
for her. I mean,
unfortunate
she
'cause she
wasn't
was their
like any
number
sort of
one
expansion draft or
pick
whatever, but first player in
ever,
Penguins history.
and she
Yeah.
doesn't get to see the whole season out. Well, traded, whatever, but she's still,
It was not at all, and I'm glad that you brought that
yeah.
up. I
So
mean, I'm sad,
I don't know
obviously,
if
for
that was the
Alex
last thing
because
you
she
had,
was
but I
one of,
just wanted to
honestly,
bring that
she
up
may
because
have
I
been
didn't
my
know if you had
favorite
seen
player
it
before
yet.
she got traded. So, and I was, you can go back and find the podcast where that
Yeah.
happened. I was probably
Yeah.
distraught. I was getting emotional, getting all up in my feelings like I do about these players. You get very attached to them, of course. So that's a bummer for her, bummer for BFC. But yeah, things happen.
For
First time in that
I
stadium.
know. What a unfortunate homecoming for her, like returning here.
Well, she
It was already bad
She
enough.
immediately signaled
Yeah, it
that
was
she
already
needed to
bad
come
enough.
off.
She had to
So
leave the
you knew
game
something
early,
was not
but
right.
yeah,
And you go down like
to be
that,
done
her
for
and
the
Bia kind of got
season is
tangled
just
up. Speaking of Bia,
devastating.
the last thing I was going to bring up, because I knew this is not what you were going to bring up, was Bailey
Yeah.
Fife. So she scored her first goal for the KC Current. And if you all get into the roster nerdiness that I do, you know
Oh.
the KC Current roster is currently full. But there are two players on the season-ending injury list, Hannah Glass and Mallory Weber. And I've been thinking about it. Glass supposedly was going to come back relatively early into the season. So I would think that's any time from now. So I've been kind of in the back of my mind thinking, who does the team cut? They're going to have to cut somebody to make room for Glass. And in my mind, Bailey Fice was one of those names that I was thinking maybe she gets cut because she hadn't played. She didn't play till 2 weeks ago. Then she just played really good the last 2 weeks. She was pretty good last week and then gets the goal this week. Pretty dominant in the midfield, replacing Lo Labonte, who's still out. And now I don't know. Reagan Steigleiter, I was thinking maybe she gets cut, but then she got on, subbed on for Mace. Maybe they're going to trade somebody. Maybe they do have an embarrassment of riches on this team. So maybe they trade someone away for allocation money or draft picks or things like that. But somebody's going to have to go to make room for Hannah Glass, who would then be competing for that right back spot with Ellie Wheeler, the second round draft pick from this year's draft. Oh, ouch. I guess they could, yes, instead of bringing her off the season-ending injury list. But I
Could they
suspect they
not
probably paid
just
her pretty
cut
well.
Hannah
She was one of the
Glass?
best right wing backs in the entire world. She plays on the Swedish national team. She came over from Bayern Munich, obviously a huge team. I think they're going to play her. I think somebody will get cut from the bottom of the roster, but it ain't going to be Bailey Feist. I don't know why I said ain't. I have better grammar than that. Getting feisty over here. Ah, speaking of that, I did that on accident. All right. Sheena, any other KC Current thoughts?
Yeah, you sure are.
No,
Their
interesting.
drum
I saw
show,
a
I
video of it. It
guess,
looked pretty
didn't
cool
go off
from
as well
the
as they had
Instagram video
hoped,
that I
but
saw of
from
it,
what I
but
saw, it
I would
looked
have
pretty
liked to see it in
cool.
person.
But I guess
I
it
feel
should have
bad.
been
I
better.
fly for a season credential to go to KC Current. Then the second game, we're out of state. The third game,
Yeah.
I literally probably would have gone to any other game if it wasn't Sporting in St. Louis. I'd have chose to go to the current game. I got to get back down to CPKC Stadium. So, and now they're out and they're not back home for like 3 weeks. So I'll get there eventually. I'm coming. I promise. I'm going to have to miss a sporting game online to do it, but we'll do it. Speaking of sporting, speaking of the current, speaking of overlapping games, let's talk about that. Last night, Sporting KC kicks off an hour after the KC Current kicks off. Oh, and also the Royals were playing at the same time. So That's one thing. All three games were well attended, though. Sellouts for the Current and SKC. St. Louis may have helped a little bit with that. And then the Royals had an immense amount of people. I didn't know that many people care about baseball. So, Sheena, you and I had the same question last night. I had already written it in the rundown before you knew, and then you asked me the question. So I'm going to ask it to you because I refuse to answer until the podcast. Did we make the wrong decision? Did we choose the wrong game to go to because we went to the Sporting KC game?
I don't know that we made the wrong decision. I mean, definitely the KC Current game is the better game to have attended because they dominated. They came out with a win and it was a very exciting game. However, it was a rivalry game for Sporting Kansas City and you were pressed, so it wasn't like you were in the stands cheering. But had I not been there, and I wasn't cheering, like every seat that was taken up by a St. Louis fan, like just makes Sporting Kansas City fan base look bad. So I think I made the right decision. I did what I needed to do to support Sporting Kansas City in the rivalry game. And if I don't know who KC Current's rival is, but if there is a big rivalry, and
really good question. As
it's
you were saying
as
that,
intense
racing,
as the
thinking,
St. Louis one is the Sporting, I will be there to support
the Utah
that.
Royals.
Do they have a rival?
They haven't played each other yet, so obviously there's nothing there. And obviously the Sporting KC RSL heat still exists in the background. I was thinking maybe Louisville or KC Current have lost to Louisville more times than I would like, and Louisville are like the most dominant team. Those are geographically probably the two closest teams, I would think, when you look at the map. Maybe Chicago is, I'm not sure. So I would say no, they don't have a rival right now. Part of that is probably because Current were really bad the first year.
And, or Chicago?
The finals the second year, then they were pretty bad the third year. So maybe they'll start to develop some rivalries. You have to have some important games, and they haven't played a ton of important games, so that kind of holds it back a little bit, I think.
What are your thoughts? I feel like you shouldn't even answer because you're not going as a fan. You're going as the press and the media, so I don't feel like
losing or, well, they tied, but it was a tie. I don't know. Loss again, giving up a late goal. So I would say, yeah, I'm with you in the general sense. You got to go support the rivalry game, but I got to get some more KC Current games because, gosh, they are fun. They're fun. I asked this question through the KC Soccer Journal Twitter account too, like how many people out there have like season tickets to both is what I was trying to figure out. So this is incredibly unscientific because only 291 people voted in this poll, but just Sporting KC season tickets, 36.4%, just KC Current season tickets, 12.4%, both 9.3%, and then 42% have none. I guess that kind of makes sense. If you're on Twitter a lot, you're probably not at the games. So maybe some people are getting on Twitter from the stadium, but a lot of people not with season tickets that are reading the KC Soccer Journal. So they might be relying on our coverage to know what's going on. True.
I mean, I don't have season tickets. I have decided, though, I'm just going to buy tickets to games based on price. I'm just going to price it out. And if there's a good deal, I'm going to go. I really think you need to go to a KC Current game as a fan, as opposed
to at some point as a fan, for sure.
Journalist or media, whatever you call yourself, editor.
They printed for me and show up and cover some games and give them their just dessert because, man, the Current are good. And I need more KC Current in my life. Let's keep this thing going. Perfect season. Well, undefeated. Perfect part is over, but the undefeated still. Far superior experience.
Yeah.
Is that what you're going for?
I'm hoping to get out to another game soon.
You know,
it's a far exterior experience. I don't know if that made sense. Superior. Oh man, it's almost 11. We got to stop doing these. We got to stop being so busy so we can do these podcasts earlier in the day when I'm a little more, my language and communication styles make more sense. But I think the experience in KC Current is far superior than the experience in Sporting Kansas City. Still a good environment and an atmosphere, but
the
food options, all the local ties in KC Current just to me make quite the difference. Yeah, but I mean, both games were still sold out. And you didn't say, but the Royals had over 23,000 fans in attendance last night. It was like 54,000 people, over 54,000 total people in Kansas City came to support one of the teams last night between the KC Current, Sporting Kansas City, and the Royals. So pretty remarkable.
We're not big baseball people.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I knew it was over 23,000.
For sure.
It just leads me to think that if they're looking for another, like a hockey team or a basketball team, Kansas City is going to show up and support the team. So I hope if there's ever an expansion in either of those sports, we get the consideration because we will show up. We are a team or a city who loves our teams, and we support our teams, and we wear our teams on our shirts and on our cars with bumper stickers and stuff. So, yeah.
You're from a fair weather sports city right there. And honestly, Phoenix was a fair weather sports city.
We're a good city. It's unlike anywhere else I've lived before. So it's pretty cool.
All you had was the Springfield Cardinals or whatever. So
yeah.
Yeah, weirdly, came up a couple of times. So let's move on to a broader MLS subject here. We're going back to Major League Soccer.
As I talked about a lot last week,
Sheena,
apparently.
I almost fell asleep talking about some new rules that are going to probably go into effect this summer. It seems to be confirmed. A lot of coaches were talking about the rules this week. The league still hasn't announced them. Don't know. Just letting The Athletic put the reporting out there, and we're going off of that.
Oh, yeah. But
The Athletic did some extra reporting, and they reported on something that was not adopted, but maybe voted on later after the season is over, something called the Icon Rule. So this would be a rule that would allow teams to sign veteran players aged 33 or older who have played for the club for 4 years. A player can be signed for up to $1 million above the max budget charge, which is $683,750. So we'll say just short of 700K. But they would only count as $200,000 against salary cap. It's loosely being called the Carlos Vela rule because he has not re-signed. And the problem is he wants a bunch of money. They don't mind paying him the money, I don't think. Salary-wise, it doesn't make sense on the budget. But if we want to put this into a Sporting Kansas City context, imagine contracts coming up for Johnny Russell, where he makes $1 million. Well, they could sign him for that $1 million and only count for 200K. Then if Johnny's not starting and he's only counting his 200K on the budget, it's not so bad. On the surface, I like the rule. It's a way to keep veterans around without their budget charge hitting so hard. You're taking up a roster spot, so I would like if the rosters were a little larger than the 30 players they currently are now, because Sporting already don't use the supplemental players hardly at all. Sheena, thoughts on the Icon Rule? All right. Well, that was pretty definitive. So the rule is never brought to a vote. So some
I guess
MLS
it's fine. I'm pretty
to
indifferent
the athletic,
on
kind
it.
Upset that they didn't get voted on, but they, like I said, it could come at the end of the year. They're also hoping that there'll be more substantial changes. I still haven't finished writing that article I promised I'd write last week. I think I'm going to have more time this week, so I'll get that done, hopefully. But The Athletic actually shot back and said, hey, yeah, this Icon Rule, maybe it's okay, but maybe we should just change some other rule. And they made a suggestion to, you know, how teams can have two or three designated players, but they count for that $683,750 against the cap. Make them only count for 200K, just like the Icon Rule. Then you can have three DPs, and you've just freed up $1.63 million in extra spending. That's good for like 1¾ of a Remy Voltaire, to put it in Sheena terms. You could have 1¾ more Remys on your team if they did something like that. So who doesn't want more Remy in their life, right, Sheens?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would take any player that hustles. It doesn't have to be another Remy, but the qualities Remy possesses as a player, yes, sign me up for more of that.
Quality bench players. Maybe Peter would be convinced to use his bench. Anyways, that's the Icon Rule. Maybe we'll hear more about it after the season. Let's go digital crawling, y'all. I got a lot of stories here. We're going to move through them relatively quickly. The primary transfer window for Major League Soccer has closed this past Monday. Sporting Kansas City obviously did not make any signings. If you're hoping for signings, the soonest they can arrive is July 18th. The secondary window opens from July 18th to August 14th. These new rules sound like they're going to be in effect, the ones we talked about on last week's episode. So they are going to have an extra U22 player slot. Think of Logan Ndembe, Robbie Bolliter, Marinos Giannis, I guess, technically. somebody like that could be signed. And then another $100,000 in GAM. So, you know, again, equivalent of signing another Remy. Plus they have other money available because of some flexibility. Because they did nothing in the offseason. So that's happening. U.S. Open Cup draw has happened. Sporting Kansas City are going to head on the road to Union Omaha May 8th. It's a Wednesday game, so it'll be the first midweek game of the season. They haven't had any midweek games. I suspect we'll get some rotation. Lots of games and sports happening in Omaha that day. So Mike Kuhn from the KC Soccer Journal, he thinks they're probably going to play at Coniglia Field. I'm not sure if I'm saying that name right. University of Nebraska. It only has 3,097 seats, so it's not huge. The place they usually play is where the Royals minor league team, the Storm Chasers, play. So Storm Chasers are in town that night. They'll probably play there. Also, there's some sort of, I think, high school soccer tournament taking up some other fields. So University of Nebraska, 3,000 seats midweek. Thoughts on Union Omaha, Sheens?
I wish it wasn't during the week, or I wish it was like during the summer so we could go, because our kiddo is still in school. So I'm very bummed. I really want to get to Omaha so badly. I hear so many great things from some of our listeners who are from Omaha, and I need to get there. This would have been the great like opportunity. It just timing wise doesn't work. And Chad wants to go without me, but how dare he go to Omaha without me? Like, not allowed.
I was like, I cannot believe you're shooting this down.
The fact he had the audacity to ask me to go is just
to come to a US Open Cup final. I was very angered in the moment against New York Red Bull. And Sporting won that trophy. So that's the last trophy they won. I was there. I think I'm good luck. So we both get to have FOMO now? Is that
Well, I had FOMO when you went, and I don't want to have FOMO too again. And I want to go to, yeah, we can watch it together and experience the FOMO realness. But I just, I'm the one who wants to go to Omaha more than you do. So we're going to Omaha together, and we can't make this work this time. So neither of us get to go.
He has never played an MLS game for Sporting Kansas City. He has made a couple appearances. He played in the old version of the Leagues Cup when Sporting got stomped by Lyon a few years ago, like 6-1, 6-0, maybe. I don't remember the score. But he's heading out to Carolina Core FC. It's an MLS Next Pro team. It's an independent team, so they do not roll up to another team. There's only a couple independent teams, them in Chattanooga. So if you're interested, go check out KC Soccer Journal. I wrote a story on it. Actually, I dove into all the times that Sporting have ever made loans to lower division teams. Dom Dwyer, that was a pretty successful one. Daniel Shalloway was sent out on loan to a Hungarian club. A lot of other less successful loans, too. So we'll see how Ozzy does. Hopefully, he does well. John Pulsgam turned 23 this week. Happy birthday, John. It's funny because Sheen and I were joking that Zhao Klaus is like the oldest looking 27-year-old man we've ever seen, the St. Louis's striker. She said he looks like he's 43. And then she backed off and she says, maybe 38, 39. I'm being too harsh. No, he's 27. He's 27. But John Pulskamp, he looks older, but just because he looks just like manly looking, right? He's like rugged outdoorsman and 23. It's true. I can't. It's never coming for me, y'all.
I think 41. I don't think he looks super old. You are just jealous because he grows facial hair and you can't. I think that's what it is.
Which is what used to be the LA Galaxy 2. They were ahead for so long, and then they gave up a stoppage time goal and then lost in the 11th round of the penalty kick shootout. The Ventura County goalkeeper scored it. And then Ryan Sheaway, on loan from Sporting KC, he took a very unconfident, weak penalty kick. And you can tell he maybe hadn't been practicing that. So he's going to have to practice. Bummer for SKC, too. They've been playing really well. They'd won two straight. So hopefully they'll get back to their winning ways. Celio Teixantret, hey, I said his name. That's great. He signed his first pro contract with SKC2 this week. He is foregoing college. How about that? He was going to go to college. Now he's going pro. His dad is the coach of the U19s. So let's hope Celio shows some promise. He's a defensive midfielder. This team could use some depth at defensive midfielder. So maybe he'll be awesome this year, breakout, and then can move to the first team to back up Nemanja Radoja. SKC Academy players, Ian James and Jack Corthamp, they are both called up to the U16 Youth National Team for the United States. They're going to training camp. That'll be pretty cool. And then she and I promised I would get to it. The Kansas City Comets, they won their second round playoff game against the Milwaukee Wave. They won the first round. I think that may have happened since this happened as well. But pulled off the win like within the last minute of the game. So really good. Game 2, Monday night. Speaking of Monday night, the upcoming schedule here, if you want to watch some soccer this week, they're going to host the Milwaukee Wave. So if you want to go watch the KC Comets, go watch the KC Comets at 6:35 p.m. at Cable Dahmer Arena, Monday, April 22nd. Playoff game. Big one there. Kansas City Comets are on the road. I said the Comets, then I meant to say the Current. Oh my gosh, Sheen, I'm falling apart. It's 11 o'clock at night. The Current are on the road at Angel City FC Friday, April 26th, 9 p.m. on Amazon Prime. We don't have Prime. We're going to have to figure that out. And then Sporting Kansas City hit the road to play Minnesota United Saturday, April 27th, 7:30 p.m. I got nothing. Oh, we've been asking for them all the time,
sweet.
But I never
Chad, do you have anything else in the digital crawl? Okay, I have a review. We got a new review on Apple Podcasts. Yeah, I forget to check, but when you were talking about
User
it at the beginning
friend.
Of the show,
should you have called them
I was
a
like, you know, it's
friend,
been a hot
maybe?
minute
A
since
soccer
I looked,
friend of ours?
so we have one. And this user person friend of ours, soccer friend of ours, soccer friend, yeah, J-Dog with like 30 numbers after it, no lie. I mean, I didn't count, but it looks that way. He or she, I'm assuming J-Dog's a guy, but if you're a girl, my apologies, titled it Great Perspectives. I appreciate the perspectives this podcast provides. The more in-depth analysis alongside the casual perspective gives excellent insight into how both hosts view the team, match, and
yeah,
optics around the club.
Compliments.
I also
right,
love
I like
there
it.
Is almost
right,
always
y'all.
An SKC
if you've
podcast
far,
for my
be sure.
Monday
Go
commute.
Subscribe.
So
tell your
thank you, J-Dog. We appreciate your review.
To our podcast. Talk to us. Interact with us. If you want to interact, you can interact with Sheena on Twitter at @FortheGloryKC, or you can reach both of us at @FortheGloryKC on Instagram, Facebook, Threads, email us, FortheGloryKC@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at @PlayFor90 or on Blue Sky. I never promote my Blue Sky at @ChadC Smith. And here is Twitter Conspiracy and the KC Column to play us out. Take care, everybody.
Bye, soccer friends.